We all probably have some things we wish we hadn't gotten rid of. Maybe you still kick yourself for not keeping your record collection. You wish you hadn't donated all your bell bottoms or gotten rid of some of your mother's dishware. It does seem that many things that once seemed old and outdated soon become vintage and desirable. It's hard to imagine that some of our modern possessions would someday be antique store worthy. What does it take to become a valuable antique? Is it just the passing of time? Our guest says this is something antiques dealers often think about. Dwayne Scott Cerny is the co-owner of the Broadway Antique Market, Chicago's oldest and largest vintage shopping destination. He's the author of the book, Selling Dead People's Things, Inexplicably True Tales, Vintage Fails, and Objects of Objectionable Estates. Dwayne, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. How are you doing?
Good. Well, this brings up just kind of a core question. What turns a thing into an antique?
Magic. Turns it into an antique. I think go back and forth between the word antique, and people get stuck into that. You know, it has to be 100 years old, it has to be 50 years old, and the word vintage.
Okay.
And certainly antique dealers tend to embrace the word vintage. I would say it's a kind of a curiosity of time and kismet, which can turn something that was once unwanted and worthless into something valuable and desirable. I think I start, if I can kind of just offhand, speaking generally, one should really look for good design. I would say like better pieces, things that were quality items. Now, stores we could name, such as, Target or wherever, contemporary shopping ventures. You can really spot the good stuff from the junk. Let's just be honest. So quality, and it's a word that ignore these days, I'm afraid, but how well something is made, just the weight of it, the scale of it, and sometimes the price. So many things that are expensive tend to be expensive in the future. Things that were inexpensive sometimes remain inexpensive or completely worthless.
I can look around my kitchen or living room, whatever, and feel like it's just my daily ordinary stuff. But I guess if we're buying something that's vintage now or antique now, that was the people back then who owned it thought of it the same way, right? It took time for it to have that special vintage feel about it.
Absolutely. You could if we looked about your kitchen, and that's a good example. And say you picked up a Michael Graves or a Philippe Starck tea kettle, both of them. Sold a hell of a lot of those and really desirable as an 80s, 90s thing, really good design, expensive in its time, a really good piece to have now. So again, architect design or made by designers. It seems that we've kind of gone back to that with those of us who remember the whole pedigree of the 80s and the whole designer fashion element. So things that like Chanel and Tiffany and Coach, those name brands, are just as significant now, if not more so, especially with young people. So I just don't see that going away. I just see that really expanding. They're just such brand names in our heads now. They're not going to disappear.
Now, we hear a lot about fast fashion and, cheaper furniture and things like that. It seems like a lot of the things we're buying these days just physically aren't going to survive long enough to become vintage. Is this new or has that always been around?
It's a really good point. Well, here, a store such as IKEA, when they began, it really did quality pieces that are still floating around. And there's many a vintage dealer, including myself, that has sold one of the early IKEA pieces. Unfortunately, that really can't be said of much of what they're creating today in, spatula world. I get IKEA. So that's changed. So, and then I kind of just spin back to the quality of manufacture. So,
We are talking about antiques and vintage items and kind of play a little mental guessing game here. What are the things we own today that are going to be desirable vintage items in the future, maybe antiques if they stick around long enough? Dwayne Scott Cerny is with us, co-owner of the Broadway Antique Market, author of Selling Dead People's Things, Inexplicably True Tales, Vintage Fails, and Objects of Objectionable Estates. Dwayne, I know you can't predict the future, but as you look around, are there particular items or brands or things like that you say, yeah, I bet, you know, my success, your successor 50 years, 100 years from now, they're going to be like really paying good bucks for this stuff?
Well, you know, I really encourage people to look at things and to be really open-minded about things. And I'll tell a quick story of, I used to go to house sales and be called into estates. And I noticed that the people doing the sales would often, whenever they had film negatives from cameras, you know, just the film, they throw it out. They would just throw it out. And I started telling these people, put it in a bag. Whenever you get one of these things, just put it in a bag. And then, you know, a couple months later, someone would come to me with thousands of negatives. Like, am I out of my mind? No, because if you think about it, we all have these wonderful cameras in our pockets and we take billions of photographs. And how many of them do we print?
Very few. Remarkably few.
Very few. Unfortunately, yet that having that object, and a negative is an object, it's very much a dead technology. I'm big interested in cameras, of course, right? You know, collectible cameras. But the film itself, not so much. Now, when I was doing it again 10 years ago, you know, people thought I was a little off. I have a hard time even keeping it that in stock. I have young people asking for it for all the time, and for many, many reasons. And we sold them to ad agencies, and people use them for art projects, and you know, countless things I can't even imagine. So now, look at that's essentially garbage. I would not be surprised if good packaging, even the packaging itself, could in fact one day be desirable. And now I'm not encouraging everybody to be you know, hoarding this.
Right.
I've walked into enough of those houses. You kind of have to have a discerning eye and say, what is unusual about this? What excites me about this? Why is this speaking to me? So again, it's really being open-minded to objects in a different way. So and don't look at things necessarily for like, hey, you know, 30 years from now, I can make $10 on this. You know, it's really not where we're going. But just like anything else, you should collect things that you love. And you know, there's an expression that like today's design is the new art. Is that it's just to the public that we so embrace good design, which has always kind of been there, but it's not something that we've really discussed so openly and embraced so lovingly. go ahead.
Is there an arc of, I've got this phrase in my head, the arc of embarrassment, where, okay, bell bottoms, yeah, they were big. Oh my God, I can't believe we wore those things. Then they came back. I'm from the 80s. I was a teenager in the 80s. So much stuff I would not go back to. And now I see a lot of that stuff is coming back into style. Is this something that happens again and again? We poo-poo the thing and then it comes back.
Oh, gosh. How many times have Mohawks come back? 3, 4 that I can count. that type of fashion. But again, I often spin back to antiques and vintage is a fashion. It's not so much of a trend word, as it is again kind of opening yourself up to experiencing these things, because you could say, gee, I never want to see that again. It's like getting a bad haircut, you know. We don't want to do that again. But yes, so many things just repeat themselves. In the 80s, everyone was, you know, crazy about the stuff from the 50s. In the 90s, everyone was crazy about stuff from the 60s. Yeah, it's I do think as the decades go on, there are fewer and fewer things, because It seems to me that the quality of items is just lessened as the decades proceed. Things just aren't made as well, so there are fewer things that may in fact become collectible and desirable, which is why I say just be open to everything from things that would be disposable or, you know, the dead technology. Good example is those first cell phone. You know, if anyone remembers that brick that you'd walk around with, right? You said that was dead technology. Those were in thrift stores. Nobody wanted them. Couldn't give them away. Wow, you'd want one now. I mean, those are museum pieces.
People are
collecting them. Some of the first computers. So there's that in the technology of it. I'm really excited about where this is going to be. This whole business is going to be in 25, 30, 50 years from now, even though I'm not going to be around, is because when you look at virtual reality and 3D and the ways that people shop online now, where that's going to be, it's cool because vintage doesn't go away. I'm selling to an entirely new generation of collectors. I learned so much from them. And that's the other thing I would say is that people should talk to their friends. I mean, people, you know, sometimes, you know, if you're out shopping with others, what gets them excited? What do they think? You can learn so much from others. They'll tell you about some sale they went to and something they saw and they didn't buy. Everybody's got a story about the thing that got away. But there's a huge interest now in vintage gym shoes, you know, Nike, Adidas, Reebok, you know. So something that could be from, you know, 2010 and it's desirable and valuable, which was kind of, you know, a little mind-blowing to me because I wasn't into it, but within that kind of genre of collectability, you can learn something every day in the vintage business.
Dwayne, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you, Rob. This has been great.
That's Dwayne Scott Cerny, co-owner of the Broadway Antique Market in Chicago. He's the author of the book Selling Dead People's Things. He joins today to talk about what might be for sale in the antique stores of the future. Let us know. Do you have the one that got away, that item that's maybe collectible now that you tossed years ago? Email ideas@WPR.org.